this moment your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we're so glad for the words of that song, Lord, being so true, that you're always there, Lord. You promised. And Lord, your promises are not just words to the bride, but they live in her. They're a part of her. They're the things she expects each day, Lord. It's the relationship she has with you. And Lord, how great it is. And Father, we pray you'll help us this morning to look into your word, Lord. Let us take a little more step into it, Lord, in the hour that we're living and the promises that we've been given. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see everybody this morning. I appreciate the prayers. I was really sick this week, and I thought, you know, Sunday and Monday I was getting through it, but it got worse, and so I appreciate Brother Goomba coming on the last minute like that, and I appreciate, you know, that you all were praying for me, and I started feeling better on Thursday, and I'm on the mend, so I appreciate the prayers. I thank the Lord for healing, you know. And we're going to start off here with the last quote that I brought on the last message. And this isn't going exactly like I had it laid out in the before, because the Lord showed me a little something extra. I had two messages this morning. And I didn't know which way to go with it. And I started reading back through this one, and I hit a spot, and I said, Lord, I need help with that, because I don't know everything that means in it. And we've been promised to know the truth. We've been promised to have all the doubts removed. Because the dissolver of all doubts is here. And if you're going to be the bride, if we're going to be the bride, and I believe we are part of that bride, then we are going to know when to talk and when to be quiet. We're going to know, thus saith the Lord. And we're going to know all the time what to do. We don't have to wonder. And he opened it up to me. I had not seen. But I'll point it out to you this morning. But I was reading earlier this morning and thinking about some of the things we said last time about how that the prophet, God was building that relationship with the prophet, and how sometimes it seemed so stern. You know, he let him go months there with that stomach thing. But as we talked about it, there was no other way. If God could have done it another way, a better way, then God didn't know what he was doing. So the way that took place was the way that God allowed to take place. It was the best way. And it doesn't seem like that. I'm sure it didn't seem like that to Brother Branham walking the floors there for months with that stomach thing, calling out to the Lord. But at the end of that trial, it all made sense. And I thought about how God is so patient with us, because he's bringing us to the place. See, he is interpreting his word. And sometimes it's not so easy on this old man for the interpretation to come. God has to break it down and build it back a different way, and then break it down and build it back a different way as he's bringing it. And so I was looking at Brother Branham when he first saw that, you know, one of the first testimonies he gives years ago was about going to that meeting and the two brothers there that were speaking in tongues. And he talks about this, I think it's in the Pergamos Church Age there in the Church Ages book. And he said he went to that service and he heard them speaking in tongues and he was so excited with the service. And he wanted to talk to these brothers about it. So he went and talked to them, and one of them, y'all know the story, one of them was a real Christian and one of them was a hypocrite. He didn't know what that was, and it disturbed him so much that he didn't finish the meetings. He left right then and went somewhere, I think he said a secret place, and he said he was going to pray and ask God and wait on an answer. And then he begins to tell how the answer came. And I thought to myself, you know how many times God done something? God, at the end of that trial with the amoeba, Brother Branham said the angel of the Lord come into the room alight and stepped down on the floor and spoke to him. Think about that. But this time that wasn't the way he done it. This time he went up in the mountains there, or wherever the secret place was. It was probably that cave. And he was praying, and he said he just opened his Bible. He's just waiting on the Lord. I want you to catch how human this is. Okay? God is using that. He's coming down on our level. And he's using that to speak to us. And he comes down, because that become part of our scripture, brother and sister. What he told us, what happened, what God was doing there, that become part of the word to us. Amen. And so there was a reason and a purpose that God done each one of those things the way he done each one of those things. Amen. There was no ifs and ands or buts about it. He was doing something exactly in the best way every time. And so he is sitting there and he opens the Bible. I think he said he opened to Matthew and he read that, and he didn't feel like that was the answer. And he set his Bible down and he was praying and the wind blew it. You all know the story. The wind blew it over to Hebrews 6. And you know, my, he picked it up and he read it. And it was about the tares. You can go read it, Hebrews 6. And he read it and he still didn't know the answer. What was going on here with these two men? That one was, both of them were speaking in tongues, and one was a devil and one was a Christian. And Brother Branham said he was proud and boastful, one of them was, and one was just a little humble brother. And he didn't know what was going on. And so he laid the Hebrews 6 back down and he kept praying and he kept thinking about it. And in a minute, he'd opened the Bible again and it blowed it back over to Hebrews 6 again. And he read it through and he didn't catch it. And then he set it down and a vision broke of the, and God showed him the white, the one with the white raiment sowing the seed, and then the one in a shadowy figure coming behind him sowing seed. And see, God taking those little baby steps with the prophet, when he could have just come down and showed him and told him. So, but he chose to do it that way because that was the best way. Because you can't catch God doing something and it not be the best way. Even when his permissive will, when it was permissive will, the permissive will was necessary to bring the best. We can see that in the message, always. It's always there. And so when I see those things and we begin to realize that God is his interpreter, his own interpreter, we realize and we start to think about that very thing, that he is interpreting his word. And if you are part of that, he is interpreting you. And so, I mean, we've said that a lot of times. But when you start thinking back and you think about the stuff he said about the Godhead, the more you get into this message, the more the Godhead starts to open up and starts, when that dumb statements that he made, that You can't get to first base without understanding the Godhead. You can't understand God at all without understanding that. And that is such a deep statement right there. If you don't know nothing about the message, you don't understand that. And when we don't understand that, we can't understand nothing else. But when we understand that, then things begin to open up. When we understand God, the Godhead, Him expressing Himself. As He said, I think it was the oneness message. I think it was all the way back in 62. He said, it was not eternal sons. It was eternal God expressed as Son. God doing the expressing. And so there's always been that way. Every single movement that God made has been God expressing that. Him expressed as sons. And so I'm just going to read this quote that we read there at the back beginning, or at the end of the last service. And let's just let Him do the talking. Now, Brother Bram said, when did the token come into existence? The evening time. Okay? So if it came into existence in the evening time, was it in existence any other time? I mean, we say it was only the evening time because we don't believe it was in existence in the first church age. Okay? So then if it wasn't in there, it couldn't have been in existence before that. Today is when it come into existence. The token. And we know what the token is. All right. The token is the word identified in you, living itself out. And the token is the life of Christ, right? The token is the word identified in you, living itself out. That's God being His own interpreter. You don't have to say, well, now you interpret my tongue. That ain't it. He interprets your life by the word. When He takes your word, what are you? What you are, sorry, and identify His word through there. So God's identifying you, the part of the word that you are, by making that live. His word through there, there don't need any interpretation. We don't have to help Him. Nobody else has to help Him. God is doing it all. And that begins to make so much sense when we start to look at denominations. Denominations are those trying to help God, trying to do things themselves, trying to make a system for God, and it doesn't work. Trying to add things to it. Identify His word through there. There don't need any interpretation. It's already there. God does His own interpretation, and we've had these promises for the day. So we're a part of God. We're a part of that royal seed of Abraham. Then God's going to interpret the royal seed of Abraham. He's going to do it. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. But what He wanted to do, He loved fatherhood, for He was a father. And the only way He could express it was to become a son of man. The only way He could express Himself as the Father was to become a son of man. That's the reason. And what was the son of man? God made manifest in flesh. God-man, that's what the title is. God-man, the anointed man. That's the reason Jesus kept saying the Son of Man. He was identified as the Son of Man. See, they didn't know what he was talking about, many of them. But now you get it. See, he wanted to express himself. That was his, one of his three great threefold purposes, to express himself, was to express himself, identify himself with human beings, to reveal himself in Christ. That's the purpose of God. To identify himself in Christ. Don't let that pass you up. God's purpose. Without that, he has not got a purpose. Remember that scripture in the Church Ages book? He said he'd done all these things to give him reason and purpose of being. If he's not a savior to man, he has no reason and purpose of being. He was giving himself the reason and purpose of being. Brother Bram said it was rolled up into Christ. God's reason and purpose of being was rolled up into Christ. All of it was rolled up into that. And where are we? In him. Secondly, to have the preeminence in his body of believers, that is, his bride, that he might live in people. Now, he could do that in Adam and Eve. He could have preeminence in Adam and Eve. How many believes that? It's absolutely the truth. He had preeminence in Adam and Eve. How did he have preeminence in Adam and Eve? Because Adam and Eve chose to let him have preeminence. Is that not the covenant he gave them? That's the exact covenant he gave them. But now, that's going to make a whole lot of sense here in just a minute. I'm going to point out what the Lord showed me this morning. But sin separated them. So now there had to be some way to get it back again. To get that preeminence back again. There had to be some way to do it. And then we done went through all the covenants. We done talked about those, the two covenants. Right? And we're in what covenant? Were we in Abraham? Were we in Adam's covenant? We're in Abraham's covenant. We're a royal seed, right? Okay. Well, where was Adam? He was in Abraham's covenant too. He had this covenant back here, but he was also in Abraham's covenant. Under that covenant, God had preeminence. Every single day, Adam had to choose. And there was no problem. Adam chose no problem. He was the Son of God. Nobody could deceive him. Isn't that what the scripture says? Nobody could deceive Adam. That's right. And then God takes a piece of him and puts her in the garden. Now she, we know, could be deceived. Now I'm going to leave it right there. Let's go. So now there had to be some way to get it back again. This preeminence. Now they both were given him preeminence. Both of them, both Adam and Eve, were given God preeminence. And God wants to get that preeminence back again. Now there had to be some way to get it back. And Brother Branham gets really excited right here. Oh my, this is rich to me. Just to even think of it, see, what God's purpose was. Now why didn't he just keep Adam and Eve like that? Why didn't he just keep them like that with preeminence? Why didn't he do it? He's asking us the question. Now, he's never going to ask a question. You ain't going to find where Brother Graham asks the question and don't answer it. At least I hadn't found it yet. Now, you can go out here on some of these preachers out in the world, and they'll ask all kind of questions and answer none of them. Or if they answer them, they make a total mess of them. But not in this message. see what God's purpose was? Now, why didn't he just keep Adam and Eve like that? Then he would never been able to express his fullness, his full attribute. Do you see that? God is expressing himself in man. And he can't do it like that. You see that? He had preeminence. Adam and Eve was giving him preeminence because God made them that way. But he couldn't have his full expression if he left it that way. Because what had to happen? Adam and Eve had to know him as their savior, or God had no purpose. You see that? I'm not mad, brother and sister. If you could sit in my study and seen how many hours I've spent in this message and how many nights I've been up praying about this message. I'm trying not to get emotional, but brother, this means so much. It means so much to us in this hour. He couldn't have his full attribute with them like that. Amen. They couldn't know him as Savior like that. And what did Brother Bram say? In order to make that character of Christ, what did it take? Suffering. And it's not possible to create that character without suffering. And they couldn't suffer. God had to create character in them. God was creating character in them. And that's why sometimes it looks like I'm against Adam and Eve, but I'm not. I want us to see with our big eyes open everything that's going on. See? They had preeminence. God had preeminence, but not his fullness. He said it. No, I didn't say that. Now he's not done. Listen here what he keeps saying. Because he could have been a father there. Is that right? That's true. But also he's a savior. Couldn't have been a savior there. He had to be a savior. And he couldn't be one. How did Brother Branham say that the only relationship you have to God is how? Through Jesus Christ. That's the only one. And who is Jesus Christ? God made manifest to us. God dying for us so that we knew God in that relationship like that. Father, that's true. But also, he's a savior. You see, how do you know he was? He was because I've had the experience. See, he is a savior. And he had to express that. And how could he do it? Only through Christ. Now you think about how deep that statement goes, that he had to express that. Because it takes two pieces for there to be a savior. There has to be something that needs a savior. And there has to be something that is the savior. And both of those are God taking place. God in this one, recognizing that as Savior. And God in this one, being the Savior. And you know what my two hands are. I'm sure you do. The believer in Christ, you know what I'm talking about. I'm sorry. I'm trying my best not to leave out pieces and steps. And not assume that this has already made sense. He had to express that. And I started looking back at this because it's Easter, okay? And we're coming up on Easter. And I'm not much of a preacher at all, but if I was going to preach an Easter message, this would be it, okay? So it's a week early, but whatever. He is a savior, and he had to express that. So he had to have somebody to know him as savior. Not just to be a savior. And he could do that. And how could he do that? How could he make this happen? How could he make this happen? Only through Christ could he make this happen. Only through Christ could he have his purpose and reason for being expressed. And only through Christ. How could he be a son? Only through Christ. Remember, it's not eternal sons. It's eternal God expressed as son. He's doing it. Remember, he's doing it. This ought to make you so excited to realize this is not on you. Brother and sister, your life, every step you take, everything you run into every day, everything that comes against you, everything that's for you, God has ordered every last thing. It can't mess up. As many times as we think we mess up and we mess this up and we go that way and stuff, you don't think God knew that? You don't think God knew Brother Branham was going to get in that situation? And God was going to teach him something over and over? Don't you think it's the same way in every one of his children? Because he is interpreting you. Amen. Brother, that ought to... You see, and Satan took the opposite path. Amen. He was going to make himself a kingdom. He was going to do this. He was going to do that. See that boastful, nasty attitude like that? Amen. He was going to do this. And Brother Branham said that that Adam and Eve, we, man, was not made to fend for themselves. Right. He was going to fend for them. Brother and sister, if this ain't the full manifestation of that in this hour, if we didn't watch that happen in that man's life, and you look back, and I think I got the quote this morning where Brother Branham said, God will come down in human flesh and will manifest this God-man, this oneness, and that will take them into that union. And how could he do it? Only through Christ. How could he be a son? Only through Christ. How could he be a healer? Only through Christ. See, all things were wound up in that one person. How many things? All things were wound up into Jesus Christ. Oh my. When I think of it, I just see denominations pass off the scene. See, how did he jump to that? He was talking about everything's wound up into Jesus Christ, God interpreting his own word. And then he jumps right down and he says, when I think of that, I see denominations pass off the scene altogether. Amen. And we should see the same thing. We should see indecision and worry and everything else, unrest, pass off the scene in our lives. Amen. Because he is in control. I think about so many times years ago that helped me so much where Brother Brown walked up to that barn that day in the evening time, and I wondered how Brother Branham go over to that barn at that late in the evening time at this man, particular man's house, and walked up to him and started talking to him. I'm pretty sure the Lord sent him over there, but you know the one I'm talking about. Well, he was working there in the barn or something. And Brother Branham asked him why he didn't come to the church. And it was because of them cigarettes. Satan had sold him a bill of goods that he had to quit them cigarettes. And he'll sell you one too. As soon as he can get you to get it in your head that you're going to make some piece of that happen. And then he'll take it the other way too. He'll take it the other way and make you just lay down and not do nothing. When God gives us faith to act. Brother Bram said, faith works is faith expressed. Right? So he puts faith in us. That does the expressing. Brother Branham didn't sit over there and think, this man, I think I'll go find him and talk to him. No. God said, go over here and talk to this one. Or God said, just go walk. Amen. just go walk. And way over somewhere else, he had another one that said, go walk. And he had the timing so perfect, crossed 6,000 years, that he could cross them on a sidewalk somewhere. Amen. And sometimes we get a little something taking us down, and we get so worried, sick about it. And if we pray and it don't happen right then, or don't go like we think it ought to go, we lose our confidence in him. We start thinking, I done this, or I must not be. Where is our faith? Amen. Our faith is in him and him alone. And when I think of that, all right, I just see denominations pass off the scene and everything else just going, see? When I see God's great purpose revealing himself, it annihilates everything man's doing on his own when he yields to God. Great purpose revealing himself and having first to reveal himself as Christ, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And then to bring that fullness of the Godhead bodily into a people. Amen. Did he have another way of bringing the fullness of the Godhead bodily into a people other than Christ? Now, he's still talking about what he was talking about a while ago. Why didn't he just leave Adam and Eve like that? He could have had preeminence in them. He would come down in the evening and walked with them. But they didn't know him as Savior. They didn't know him in his full expression. That's where we're at, brother and sister, in that full expression. Adam and Eve had to know him in his full expression because they were part of that full expression. They were part of that seed. You see that? And then to bring that fullness of the Godhead bodily into a people, that he could have the preeminence, the oversight, the leading. Another one. That night, if you didn't get the tape, I preached here one night on a prisoner of Jesus Christ, Paul, a prisoner. So he was giving examples of this. Paul, a prisoner. See, when you get, when God gets you to be his prisoner, then you can't do nothing but what the Spirit says to do. Paul, with all of his great intellects, you see that? When that relationship is there, when God's brought that relationship, you can't get nothing between that and you and God. It's not going to happen. When you can't do nothing but what the Spirit says do. Paul, with all his great intellectuals, he was taught by Gamaliel to be a great priest or rabbi someday. He had high ambitions. He was intellectually a great man, a great authority, great man in the nation. But he had to sacrifice every bit of that to become part of the Word. Get that? The manifested Word. In order to become part of Christ, he had to give all that up. See, to become part of the Word, to express Jesus Christ. He had to express Jesus Christ. All of God's children are going to express Jesus Christ. He knowed. And how is that? When you walk around every day, I think I heard Brother Michael reading something about that. You walk around every day. You're expressing your gratitude to Jesus Christ for what he's done in your life. The relationship he's made. The thing he's made that cannot be separated. It's not here one day and gone the next day. It's a solid rock that he's made. And it can't be separated. He had a notion to go over someplace. Some brethren had called him. But he was forbidden by the Spirit to do his own will. Oh, if people half spiritual could pick that up. See, he was forbidden to do his own will. he could do. The Spirit forbade me. See? He was a prisoner to Christ. That's what God wanted. And he couldn't have that. He could have preeminence in Adam and Eve, but he couldn't have that. Oh, you say, Chris, how you know that? Because it didn't happen. And like I said at the beginning, nothing can happen that God didn't lay it out to happen. And everything is showing his purpose. What's his purpose now? Express himself as son, see? This was the great purpose in the back of God's mind. This is the purpose for all of the new, Old and New Testament. The revelation of Jesus Christ. That was this purpose. What's the purpose now? Express himself as a son, see? Now, that in him might dwell the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, why did he need that? Why did he need to express what a man would be like? Brother Ram said, revelation is everything to us. Revelation is God giving you of himself. And Brother Ram said, God interprets his word by bringing it to pass. So if he's going to reveal to you what a man should be, he has to bring that man to pass. Does that make any sense at all? Brother Bram is saying it. It's not Chris. I mean, this just started. This message, Christ the Mystery of God, he just got started. This was like a ramp that shot him. You saw that trajectory on that last peak of that mountain? Yeah. Well, this is about the bottom of that mountain, I believe. It just kept getting greater and greater and greater. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. I've got Colossians laying here right before me, see, that all through the scripture, that's what God's purpose was. That Christ was, that was God's purpose all through the scripture. Then, through the life of his son, his cross, the blood, it says here of his cross, that he might reconcile to himself a body, a bride, which is Eve, second Eve. And God give it in a type like he did Moses and all of them. The same thing he did in Adam and Eve, given a type that they were Christ and the bride. He is the second Adam. The church is the second Eve. And there's stuff in the Pergamum church age. If you want to go look into that, you can. And in fact, part of what's in the Pergamum church age book is pulled directly out of the spoken seed. Spoken word is the original seed that he preached in 1962. But if you want to get more on that, go there. I may have that in another message, but go ahead and look that up. And as long as the second Eve compromises against the word, isn't she doing the same thing the first Eve did? Amen. Trying to say, well, it was for some other age. And we'll get to that in a few minutes. See, everything Satan does, he's trying to take you off and let you interpret it some way. That's what he done. He's going to go off and interpret his own kingdom, make it his own thing, do his own. With the power that God gave him, he was going to go pervert this and pervert that, and he was going to raise his kingdom above God. And he wants to give you of his disease, his unbelief. He wants you to step outside of the feminine, take a masculine's part in some way, and try to do it yourself. Spiritually. And that's what Satan is. That's why he went to the woman. And y'all know all about that in the scripture. And we'll get to that in a few minutes. Whether he said that it was for another age, how can it be another age when he is the same yesterday, today, and forever? But God has purposed that and hid it from the eyes of the wise and prudent, and revealed it to the predestinated babes who were predestinated to receive it. And so we know that the revelation of Jesus Christ is the whole Bible. And that Brother Ram said, the Old and New Testament. So when he's talking about, he's revealed it and he's hid it. He's revealed it to his predestinated babes, but hid it to everybody else. They've had that Bible for thousands of years and they still don't know what it says. Skipping on down in that same message, Christ is a mystery of God revealed. What was Jesus manifested for? To show God. He was God. He had to be. No man could die. No prophet could die. He was God. He was the God of the prophets. He was the prophets. He was the kings. He was the history. He was he that was to come. He that is, he that was, he that is, and he that's to be in this day, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was manifested for that purpose, to show God. And through that purpose, but see, he showed God. Brother Bram said he showed God in every type that's in the Bible. But Jesus wasn't a type. Jesus was God. And through that purpose, he achieved a church that he, the fullness of God, might bring to pass every promised word of God in these last days. When he gets the preeminence in his church, the position, his place in the church, now he's talking about restoring back that preeminence that he had there with Adam and Eve, but it, look how different it is. It's still preeminence, but it's by him now. It's by the royal seed, not by the first covenant. It's by this new covenant. Me, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he also. Even more than this shall he do. For I go to my Father. See, he that believeth on me. See, that was his purpose. That was his purpose. You believing on him. There was the manifestation. And now today he wants to get somebody that can so see it that they can let the word. Now, he's talking about now. Now, he said he done it back there. And this is what this whole message is about, is that threefold purpose. And he wants to get somebody that can so see it that they can let the word, dot, dot, dot. See, Jesus so seen it, so was so perfectly born for the day until God expressed every move that he made. Now, God's revealing what he wants to do. He's revealing his purpose and for being. Every move that he made. He was God's revelation. God revealed. Now he sanctified with his spirit and blood a church that he might make every promise in the last days be revealed. So he done something through this last bride. In the last days to make a bride that will bring all these promises to pass. That he will bring all these promises to pass in. Now, see, he could go back and pick up those other fellas, was left off here in the last days, and by his Holy Spirit, reveal all the mystery of the seven seals. See, he is expressing himself. Now, you see where he started to go, and then when he did the dot, dot, dot. Go back up there, right above in the bottom of 375. He wants to get somebody that can so see it that they can let the word, dot, 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 he stopped. Is he going to quit talking about it? He backs up here a little bit and he talks about Jesus. And then he comes back. Now he's sanctified the church. He goes through that. Now, see, he could go back and pick up what those other fellas had left off here in the last days. He could. God could go back and pick up, because he had to get somebody that could so see it.
to pick up those things that they left off. Now, see, he could go back and pick up what those other fellows had left off here in the last days, and by his Holy Spirit, reveal all the mystery of the seven seals. See, he is expressing himself. That's his purpose. That's why he died. He could not express himself without that. And you are his expression. If you're not, then you're not his. Plain and simple. See, he is expressing himself. That's his purpose. That's why he died. That's the second fold of his threefold purpose. First, express himself. First, express himself in Christ. Then express himself through the church. And the same thing, Christ was the Word, and the church becomes the Word when it lets the Word go through them. When she yields to him. When she knows him that way. Amen. But when they accept a hybrid denomination, how can the Word go through it? It's grounded. Then it causes short and blows a fuse, see? And when the current is flowing freely, the Word of God, it expresses itself. The works that I do shall ye be also. And in the last days it shall come to pass, behold, I'll send to you Elijah the prophet, and he shall turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers. And in there would be a time come forth when he could express himself in fullness of Godhead, deity, through his church. Jesus Christ could do that. That's the reason he couldn't leave Adam and Eve that way. Because he couldn't express himself that way there. He could have the preeminence, but he couldn't express himself as Savior and God like that. Now he said it, not Brother Chris. And there would be a time come forth when he could express himself in fullness of his Godhead deity through his church. Have the preeminence in this church. Oh my, what the anointed man, now the anointed people. Amen. They couldn't be anointed people without this. Oh my, to bring back the anointed bride and bridegroom, anointed by why? Accepting what Adam and Eve turned down. And Adam coming back with the anointing of the Word. Because he said, my word is spirit. See, anointed with the Word, what Eve turned down, he comes back and we accept it. See how that hybrid condition, again, just exactly what he done, Eve. He told Eve, don't you do this and don't you do that and you can do this and that. And then she went and done what she wasn't supposed to. All right. Now, some of these, I guess I could probably stop right there. But these add to it. So let's keep looking at it. God is a great sculptor. He made man in his image to reflect him, and he's the Word. And what did he do? He tried Adam. He failed. We just looked at that while ago. Why he couldn't leave them that way. God did not leave them that way. And there was a reason he couldn't leave them that way. He tried Adam. He failed. Moses failed. All the rest of them failed. Now look, Moses brought them out of Israel. You see that? Moses done all these things. He run up there and got the Ten Commandments and come down with them. But yet, Brother Branham said he failed. Where did he fail? One place. He struck the rock, and Brother Goomba brought that out here. I think it was a couple services. He failed. Moses failed. All the rest of them failed. But here is one perfect. What was it? Nothing less than God himself in flesh. What could not fail? God himself in flesh. God expressing a son. Brother and sister, that's what we are. We're God expressing himself as son. And if he left Adam and Eve back there, he couldn't have expressed himself like that. Because he's expressing us through the son. But here is one perfect hallelujah. What was it? Nothing less than God himself in flesh, the word reflected in him, brought the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Not a prophet, yet he was a prophet. Not a man, yet he was a man. He was God-man, Brother Ram said. Same thing with Jesus. Look, when he was baptized in water and made his preparations, he was sanctified. He began with by the Father when he raised up his hands. And here come the dove upon the lamb. Now think, brother and sister. Brother Bram said the seed has to receive life. Female don't have life of her own. And you can read that in dozens of places. It's in the message. Now, and look what he's doing. Where did Brother Bram say we were when he went to the cross? We were in him. When he raised up his hands, and here come the dove upon the lamb. This was the royal seed of Abraham made manifest, and here comes the Spirit down upon it. And they become one, brother and sister. I'm not much of a runner, but I'm about ready to holler. But he raised up his hands, and here come the dove upon the lamb. What was God doing when he put the dove on there? What was he doing? He claimed that part of life. That was the part of the earth. Jesus ate food like we have, the natural bread. But now God comes and claims it. There ain't nothing going to hold it. Death can't hold it. Said, destroy this temple and I'll raise it up again. And when the man and woman goes into God, complete now, not under some spell, not under some emotion, but really when the word and him becomes one, God has saved that person, sanctified him from the things of the world, renovated everything of the world out of him and the fire of the Holy Ghost, and lives in that person reflecting himself. He was reflecting God back there before Adam and Eve. Is that right? Brother Ram said he had preeminence. Adam done everything that God told him to do. Adam done it. But God couldn't let it stay that way. Why? Because they did not know him like this. God is the one that expresses sons. And lives in the person, reflecting himself, that perfect man or woman living by the word. See, that's the earth that's cleansed. He'll use the earth the same way. He redeems it. Now watch. A corn of wheat falls into the ground. Now Jesus was that corn of wheat that fell into the ground, which after was made perfect. It had life in it. You see that? Moses didn't raise. Adam didn't raise. I didn't say that. Chris didn't say that. He said Jesus rose. He had life in him. Adam went down. He didn't. Moses didn't. Joshua didn't. Elijah didn't. None of these did. Moses didn't rise. Adam didn't raise. None of the rest of them raised. But this perfect one that reflected the word in every way, every word he lived by, he rose. Now God done something in Jesus and it caused him to raise back up. Because he was the word. He couldn't stay down there. He was alive. None of the rest of them raised, but this perfect one that reflected the word in every way, every word he lived by. How many
can say amen by that. Every word he lived by. What happened? They put him in the grave, but 3 days he broke her open and came out again. Now, here comes the church again, see? Coming to that perfect one. We're coming to that perfect one. We're raising because he raised. We were in him when he went down. We were in him when that lamb and him became, when they become one. Now, what happened after the church fell in the ground at Nicaea, Rome, to the first organization? Can anybody say amen? What's that? What did she do? She came out again in a temporary resurrection. He tried through Luther the same as he did through Noah. What did he do? He failed the word. He organized. What did he do? The same thing in the first church age. They fell away. What did it do? Proving his word. This is in 1964. Now, we say he's raised from the dead. I didn't say it. The word here said it. They said he raised from the dead. He says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You believe that? He promised these things to happen in the last day, that the same Son of Man would be made manifest. The same Son of Man would be manifest. And what did he say there about the Son of Man earlier? That what was that? That was God making himself known. Now remember, that was not Jesus talking to Abraham there that could discern the thoughts in Sarah's mind behind him. That was not Jesus. He was not yet born. But it was a man in human flesh that Abraham called Elohim, the great Almighty. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom, now watch close, in the days of Sodom, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. There's that Son of Man again. It means so much to the bride. When the Son of Man is being revealed, not no more a church, see, not no more the bride is called, see, in that day the Son of Man will be revealed. What? To join the church, why is the Son of Man revealed in this day? To join her. In that day the Son of Man will be revealed. That what? To join the church to the head. Unite the marriage of the bride. The bridegroom call will come right through this. When the Son of Man will come down and come in human flesh to unite these two together. The church has to be the Word. He is the Word. And the two unites together. And to do that, it'll take the manifestation of the revealing of the Son of Man. So how is that union ever going to take place if there was not going to be the revealing of the Son of Man? It couldn't take place. Not a clergyman. I don't know. Do you see what I mean? See, it's Son of Man, Jesus Christ, will come down in human flesh among us and will make his word so real that it'll unite the church and him as one. When he manifests himself as Son of Man, it does something, brother and sister. It does something. It's for a purpose. When he manifests himself as the fullness of the Godhead bodily, it is for something that's taking place right then. And he don't do it and then nothing happens. He does it and it happens. And he did it back there, and look what happened, that first resurrection. And he's doing it now, and what's happening? People are so blind to God. They got too much other stuff to do, too busy. I was talking to this man one time. I was leaving one church, going to another one. And I said, well, how does he teach about the rapture? And he's thinking, oh, I don't know. And I thought, well, why are you going there if you don't know what he teaches? Do you not care? Does people not care? When Brother Branham said, look at them two seeds
And the difference was their doctrine. What were they preaching? One was preaching something, oh yeah, let them do this, let them do that, it's all right. Don't believe this old man over here. And the other one was preaching, you better, sister, don't cut that hair. You better dress decent. You better do these things. Not because he was trying to be mean and nasty to him, because he knew it was life. And if he didn't scream out life, he was this Son of Man making the Son of Man manifest. Well, Jesus Christ will come down in human flesh among us and will make this word so real it will unite the church. In order to bring this church together, it's going to take that, that revelation. His word so real that it will unite the church and him as one, the bride. Now, has there been other marriages? Or is this the one we've been waiting for? In other words, did God marry somebody before this? Because if he did, they all failed. Every last one of them. Look what Brother Bram said. I can only find one place in the Bible where Brother Bram said that the Word and the Spirit became one. And that was Jesus Christ. But he pointed to it happening again. And it happened for the first time, so it would happen this other time. The wedding. The wedding. You think about a wedding. If I don't know you, if I didn't know her as my bride, and she didn't know me as her husband, her covering, you know, that's what it is, a covering, while we're here like this in this world, I'm her covering, her husband. I'm to lead her by the word. That's what Brother Ram said. By the word, I'm to lead her. It's what the scripture says. They don't, nobody believe it hardly anymore, but it's still the truth. And it speaks beyond that spiritually. God had to make that happen. He had to make this husband-wife relationship happen. And so what did he do first? He brought the husband on the scene first. Because the husband has to be on the scene before the bride knows what she's going to, what he is. She don't know what's in her. She's born into this world like that little sister at the well was. She didn't know what she wanted. She didn't. She was going all over the place. Up to five or six husbands. Had no idea what she wanted. But God had put what she would want down in there. And then he walked it past her. And it lit it up. And she recognized her husband in that portion for that day. And Adam and Eve could not recognize a husband. They didn't. They were not lost. They didn't need a Savior. God could have preeminence, but he couldn't manifest himself as husband and wife. The husband wasn't here yet. Now does them quotes make sense when he said that you couldn't take of the tree of life until it become flesh? You see what he was saying when he said that. He had to bring the husband on the scene. He was creating a love affair, brother and sister. And you'll never get something between that love affair of Jesus Christ and his bride. It will never happen. Brother Branham said the gates of hell are against it. But it will never get between there. Never. I'm sorry. I don't mean it mean or nasty. I'm just happy. He make his word so real that it will unite the church and him as one. The bride. I mean, Jesus come on the earth. And when did Brother Ram say they become one? Down there at the river. And then she'll go home to the wedding supper. Amen. She's already united, see? We go to the wedding supper, not the marriage. Feel your flesh, self of all the flesh of mighty men, because the marriage of the Lamb has come. But the rapture is going to the wedding supper. When the word here unites with the person, there has to be that union. There has to be. What did Brother Ram say? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? But the rapture is going to a wedding supper. When the word here unites with the person and they too become one. There has to be that union. And then what does it do again? It manifests Son of Man again. Not the church theologians. The Son of Man. You know, the Son of Man that when he walked down the street, nobody knew what he was talking about. The Son of Man that had thousands out there and turned around and said something because he said, I got too many. And he said something on purpose to get rid of them. I heard Brother Ram say that right out the other day. He said, I got too many. And he said something, whew, and there they went. And he turned around and looked, and he had the seven. He said, I still got too many. And said something else. Amen. And he still had one too many. But it wasn't too many because he had a purpose. I'm telling you what, you ain't going to find no other preacher on this earth. Nobody ever brought that out. Nobody took this Bible and went from the cover to the cover like that. And a man could not do that. 2,000 years of messing it up proved they couldn't do it. It took God to do it. God was the only thing going to unite his people. God is his people. The Son of Man, the Word and the church becomes one. Whatever the Son of Man done, he was the Word. The church does the same thing. Brother and sister, we're not messing with church age promises no more. Amen. This is where we should be living and expecting. Here I want to stop just a minute and tell you a little story. I heard a chaplain from the First World War. And he's talking about they threw that gas out and stuff. Like Satan at the beginning, when he come into the Garden of Eden, he could not dig up those seeds. He could not destroy them, but he sprayed them with poison. The ones that were growing, he sprayed them with poison. And it deformed it. And it didn't bring its right kind. So there's a lot buried right there. Let's talk about that just a minute. It deformed the seed. It didn't bring forth of its right kind. So there was a way that God made for Satan to come in there and deform a seed that God had put there and make it come forth wrong. Make it put out the wrong thing. Deform it. Make it look like something else it wasn't. And Brother Brown said in that Pergamum church age, in the other message that I was going to bring, those were people. When those two went through sowing, God and Satan sowing, Satan, sowing seeds, sowing people. How can Satan sow people? Brother Bram said he couldn't create. Couldn't do it. So God had to give him away. And that's what took place. You know that. That's where he's talking about. Sprayed. But he sprayed with poison and deformed the seed. It didn't bring forth its right kind. It deformed the original seed. That's what all these programs of religion. They are still sons and daughters of God, but it's being deformed. They go to church, want to do right. A nun never enters a nunnery to be a mean woman. A minister never goes through school to be a bad man. You never join church and shake hands and put your name on the book. Or whatever you do in your church to be a bad person, you do that to be a good person. But it's the deception. It's the deformity that does it. Satan sprayed it. See, God never had an organization. God leads by the Spirit. There is no such a thing anywhere found in the words of God that he had an organization. God is our organization. We're organized in him, a body, in God, in heaven. That's right. Our names are on the Lamb's book of life. See? Same message. Now, what is the transformation? What's the transformation of that seed? We've just been talking about it. Believe it or not, that's what we've been talking about. Because who did we say Christ was? He was the royal seed of Abraham. He was the promise given to Abraham, made manifest. Now, what is the transformation? Quickly, how do you get it? What does the transformation? God does it by the Spirit of his word. What does the transformation? God does it by the Spirit of his word. And who is his word? Christ was his word made manifest. He transforms. He plants his seed, throws his Spirit on it, and brings forth the product. So in any time to bring forth the seed, he has to throw his Spirit upon it to bring it forth. He can't bring the seed forth without his Spirit on it. We just read that a while ago, when the word and the man comes together. His Spirit on it, and it brings forth the product. His Holy Spirit transforms the seed word to be vindicated of its kind. So it doesn't matter which one got planted, whether it was the one Satan planted or it was the ones God planted, his Holy Spirit's going to show which is which. Amen. What kind of seed you are, that shows just what's in you. You can't hide it. Whatever you are, it shows outside. You can't keep from it. You can't make that tree anything but what it is. See, you're talking about a seed of a tree. You can't make it grow to be something else. Anything but what it is. See, it's going to be that way. The Holy Spirit transforms the seeds that's on the inside of it. No matter what kind of seed it is, it'll transform it. If it's evil, it'll bring forth evil. If it's a hypocrite, it'll bring forth the hypocrite. If it's the genuine word of God, it'll bring forth a genuine son or daughter of God through a thinking man's filter. When the seed comes up, it comes through that. Comes through what? The filter. It has to come through the thinking man's filter, which is what? Christ. Christ is our thinking man's filter. The seed has to go through the thinking man's filter. When the seed comes up, it comes through that. It produces a son and daughter of God. One day, when the world lay in the darkness of chaos, God... Now listen, this ain't the darkness and the chaos that was upon the deep back yonder. He's not talking about that. He's talking about the darkness and the chaos of the teachings. Now you think about this, the way God sees this. These are the people that he created. And he looks at them and he wants them to take. Brother Ram said he wants to do far more than we will let him do. And he looks out at this and he sees chaos, and he's going to do something about it. One day when the world lay in the darkness of chaos, God, now listen close, because we're not going to speak just a little bit longer. Look, one day when the world was again in all the kinds of religion and washing hands, pots, wearing different robes and bonnets and so forth, it lay in the midst of utter chaos. They didn't know anything about God. They were so far from him. And God was going to do something about it. The genuine Israel of God had been so perverted from the laws and the statutes of God. Jesus said, "You, with your traditions, make the word of God of no effect to the people by your traditions." You see why it's so important to Brother Branham. You remember the prayer that Jesus prayed? He said, "Pray on this like manner." And what's the thing he said? "Our Father, which art in heaven, Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. With all reverence and all humility and all leaning to that. Hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, word of God had no effect. They had no effect because there was no reverence. They were doing it all themselves. And look at them, holy priest, they call them. And Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil, and his works you do. See, that's exactly what he said. And when the world lay in that kind of fix, God's spirit moved upon a seed that was predestinated. He translated, transformed Isaiah 9:6 of its promise. He, God, was made in human flesh to save that chaos time. When man was made in the image of God, here comes God, by the prophet foreseeing it. Now remember the word, the prophet foresaw it, just the same prophet that seen Satan in his last days, see, of his educational program and things he has, religious program. The same prophet Isaiah 9:6 said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Counselor, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. This man was going to be called the Everlasting Father. Not eternal sons, eternal God expressed as sons. The Everlasting Father. And of his reign there will be no end. And what word? And that word is God's word. And the Spirit moved upon that word. And it formed in the womb of the virgin. Now, you think about it. That word could not have been come. That couldn't have come. And this be prophesied. It'd fall if God had let it go on like it did. If he hadn't stopped it. This couldn't happen. And I hope if I've not done anything this morning, I've pointed to the word so that you can see how important this was that it happened. How much a part and a purpose of God and you being part of him it was. That's what I want you to see. This had to happen. Because we're part of it. God's word, the Spirit moved upon that word. And it formed in the womb of a virgin, a man, a son is born. Not created, born. Oh, that's interesting. Sons aren't created. They're born. What did Brother Bram say we're born of? The word of the age. Is that what he said? Born of the word of the age. Not created, born. A son is born, not created, born. Satan tried and tried again to spray this one. He sprayed all the other ones, but he couldn't spray this one. Satan tried and tried again to spray it. The Everlasting Father, expressed as a man, could not be sprayed. He took him up and said, if you are what you say you are, then do some of this healing here for me. Show me how you can do it. Turn this bread and these stones to bread. Let's see you take a dive, because the scripture says you'll do it. You see them religious devils today still saying the same thing. If there is such a thing as divine healing, here lays brother so-and-so. Let's see you heal him. See, they didn't even understand what was going on, that God was the healer. They still hadn't got it in their head that he wasn't the healer. That Brother Branham was not the healer. That same devil stood at Jesus at the cross and said, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. mocking him. The Word said he was the Son of God. The Spirit proved he was the Son of God. Isaiah 9:6 was fulfilled. Look what he's pointing at, that is God. The fullness of God. And the other night, many of you in broadcast here, how that we gave 60 some odd scriptures almost, I believe, about proving what the scripture said that he was, that was him. Oh, Satan tried and tried again, do everything. One night, laying on the back of the ship, seen him asleep and said, I'll destroy him right here, right now. But he couldn't. He tried to tempt him into doing the wrong thing, but he couldn't do it. Why? He'd been sprayed with the repellent of predestination. Oh my. He can't be deceived. No, no. The Word said he would be here. Amen. There's no devil going to bother him. No other son of God that's predestinated to take his place. He's not going to bother any other son of God that's predestinated to take the place. He is sprayed with a repellent. Satan's poison, denominational doctors don't even touch him at all. Look at that. He moves right along because God is doing it. He moves right along. Nothing going to bother him, see? It didn't have any effect upon him. And that's what he gave us. That's preeminence. Well, I'll make you the bishop of all the earth. I have rule over it. If you'll just worship me, come on, join my group. I'll make you the ruler. I'll step down and let you up. He's trying everything he could. He said, get behind me, Satan. It is written. Satan ought to recognize that he recognized him and ought to know something was up. He said, get behind me, Satan. It is written, thou shalt worship God the Word, and him shalt thou serve. Then one day, oh, this great person, I'd like to stay there a while. But one day, the Spirit moved upon him again because there was some word had been wrote about him. What about the bride in this day, brother and sister? Has there been some word wrote about us? Has the Spirit moved upon her? Some word had been wrote about him, come from God through the prophet, and he was led to the slaughter like a lamb. And the Spirit moved upon him and led him and sent him to the Calvary's cross. There he died, and everything that was spoke of him in his death was fulfilled to bring light and life to all the predestinated seed of God that was upon the earth. All of them. He brought the way to do it. Here is the seed. The Spirit brings the life, transforming sons and daughters of God from the world in this dark chaos into sons and daughters of God. Don't stumble at the word predestination. I know you do, but listen, it's not my word. It's one of God's words. You want to read it, and he goes, you can read all of Ephesians. It's very good. He predestinated us to the adoptions of sons through Jesus Christ. Just let me just break it just a minute. Now, he just brought this when he said right here that the Spirit comes upon that seed, the Spirit of Christ, and transforms that seed. That's what does the transformation of the seed. And he goes right down here and says, he was predestinated, he has predestinated us to the adoptions of Son through Jesus Christ. Says it again. Just let me just break it just a minute. Just a minute. To break this out of your mind, look, just as you were in your father in the beginning, a germ seed. Did you know that? Every one of you were in your great-great-great-grandfather. Also, did you know that? Read the book of Hebrews, where they find that Levi paid tithes. when he was in the loins of Abraham, four generations behind him. When Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek, it was accounted to his great-great-grandson down below him. And it was, and he was in the loins of Abraham. There you are. There you are in God. See? And this is the last quote here, I think. Yes. I appreciate y'all bearing with me. Seems like I'm getting longer-winded and longer-winded, and I don't intend to do that. These last couple services have been very different from me. Now, the next thing you receive was the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Now, God, when this millennium is over, God is going to give the world a baptism of fire. It's going to blow the whole thing up. The heavens and earth will be on fire. Peter said so. And the thing will have a baptism of fire, renovation of the whole thing. And then it'll be a new heavens and a new earth. That's when where dwelleth righteousness. That's where we are. We are become from mortal beings, from time beings, to from them deformed beings. Deformed means they can't stay that way. God didn't have you deformed in his mind eternally. Amen. See, that's why I said that. We have come from the mortal beings, from time beings, to eternal beings. When the word of God lit our souls, and we become sons and daughters of God with the attributes, the gene of God in us, to be sons and daughters of the Father God in heaven, crying, Abba Father, my God, in my Father's house. God wanted to reveal himself to us a certain way. That's the way he wanted that relationship to be. That's the way he wanted to bring it to pass. And so we are so happy we have our eyes open to it. And so happy to be a part of it. Not because we've done anything to merit it, but because he, in his grace, done it for us. Let's stand and we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as I stand here this morning, Lord, you know my heart. You know everything about me, Lord, from one end to the other. And you know that my desire is to just be out of the way when I come here, Lord. And I believe, Lord, that you've done that. And I pray, Father, that the word will be alive to us more today than it was yesterday. Lord, that we will truly, Lord, step into that day of rest. Lay down our burdens, Lord, from all of them. Sit down at that wedding supper table, Lord, and let you dry the tears from our eyes and rejoice around that table, Lord. I'm so thankful you put me at the table. And I pray you keep feeding us, Lord, from wherever you want to, from whatever mouth you choose to use. I pray you'll keep feeding us, Lord. And I know you will. And we pray you'll go with us today. Grant it, Lord, and we can walk with you. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I wonder if we could...